On Wednesday afternoon, 6 months after being asked for information about nursing homes during the pandemic, the Cuomo administration and the State Department of Health had answers for Democratic state lawmakers. To break down what was learned and what, if anything, remains to be uncovered, we're joined by State Senator James Skoufis, an Orange County Democrat who chairs the chamber's Investigations Committee, which has made him one of the point figures in the legislature's pursuit for answers about COVID-19 deaths tied to nursing homes. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Always a delight. Thanks for having me back, Dave.
I appreciate you saying that. So what key questions initially posed to State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker back in the summer as part of legislative hearings have now been addressed by the Cuomo administration, and what were the answers you got?
So there are a whole host of questions, and certainly the one that's gotten the most media attention and attention from the public and attention from legislators has been the sort of the fundamental question about, you know, what's the total number of nursing home residents who died, whether it be in their nursing home, long-term care facility, or a hospital setting. And so we have a full number now. As of yesterday, we had a number released about a week ago, with the caveat being that there was still this audit going on. And so the full number is 1,049. But you know, there were a host of other questions, some of which have been addressed over the past many months while we were waiting for these answers, but some of which were new and illuminating. And I have a particular interest, for example, in the inspection data that was released yesterday. And in fact, I was promised to get a further detailed breakdown of those inspection data points. The number of inspections, the number of violations, the number of severe violations. I want to know where those violations were, what the fines were any licenses revoked. I'm told as of now, no licenses have been revoked, but there are still some due process enforcement actions happening. And so we learned some new information yesterday. The responses, there were 16 pages. Many of the answers to the questions were, I believe, comprehensive. Some do require follow-up, like that nursing home piece, the inspection piece.
Yeah, looking at, say, the nursing home inspections and enforcement page, there's about one page of the 16 is dedicated to it. I mean, do you find that this is a meaningful answer? Or, like you say, are you still waiting for meaningful answers when it comes to inspections?
It's a good start. So to my last point, I have follow-up questions given the answers that we now have, and that's natural and fine. Now, this all should have happened many months ago and didn't, but better late than never. So the answer is yes and no to your question. I think, yes, this is meaningful. There's serious, real, new information that's being provided now to the legislature and to the public, which is important. But now, given this new information, of course, it's natural that we're going to have follow-up questions. And as I said, on that particular point, from this meeting that was held with Commissioner Zucker and Secretary DeRosa and others, I was promised in very short order additional information on those inspections. And look, we had a meeting for over 2 hours. I mean, this wasn't sort of an in and out perfunctory sort of thing. It was tense at times, but I will say and give credit, it was a frank conversation from both sides. You know, no one was reading from a script, and we got, I think, an attempt at genuine answers. And so when I asked the question, for example, okay, with the new total number of nursing home deaths being so much higher than what was reflected in the July 2020 report on transmissions in nursing homes, and that data served as the underlying sort of driver of the analysis, are you updating that July 2020 report? And in fact, they are. And in the coming days, I was promised, the commitment was made, that there's going to be an addendum issued to that July 2020 report. And so this was a candid conversation, and we got some new information. But with that new information, of course, there are going to be follow-ups.
Should this meeting have been held in public?
So I've seen some commentary from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. And look, this was not a public hearing. This was
right,
this
but should it have been?
So this was a request from the governor's office to us. They wanted to have us and answer questions in a forthright manner, and I believe in large part they did. And so this was an invitation from the governor's office. But let's be clear, you know, and I understand, you know, the Republicans, they're out there, you know,
I'm not asking it because of the Republicans. I'm asking because, you know, they should be giving candid answers in public and private. So, you know, that's what I'm curious about. Why should they be given the ability to speak freely and hopefully accurately in private as opposed to in a public setting? Why should they be given that?
They should absolutely be speaking freely and candidly in public, in private, all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the extent that's an issue, and I think at times it is, you know, that needs to be taken up with the folks that we're talking about. But let's be clear, you know, there are meetings between legislators and commissioners and administration staff.
That's true.
All the time.
Yep.
I don't complain when Republicans, no doubt, throughout the course of the year, meet with commissioners and say, oh, how come those meetings weren't public? So, you know, some people are trying to, on the other side, you know, develop conspiracy theories. Oh, they're circling wagons. And look, I get it. The modern day GOP has transformed into a conspiracy theory party. But let's be clear. Like, you know, you've got me, you've got people like Ron Kim, you've got folks like Gustavo Rivera who are in this meeting. And anyone who knows anything about us knows that, you know, we're going to be asking tough questions in a real forthright way. And any suggestion otherwise, or, you know, these conspiracy theories that, you know, we're colluding or something, you know, I've got a bridge named after Mario Cuomo to sell you if you actually truly believe that. And so look, you know, they should always be speaking in a very forthright and real manner. And we got that yesterday. It was a meeting, just like I have meetings with commissioners all the time. And we shared all of the written answers that we received. You know, that typically doesn't happen. And so, you know, I feel that we went above and beyond in an effort to be transparent after receiving this invitation for a private meeting.
You mentioned that they promised to give you additional information. And it's my understanding that the officials that were in the meeting from the Cuomo administration indicated, you know, they wanted to meet on a weekly basis moving forward. Is that accurate? And do you feel like there has been any sort of reset between the legislature and the executive when it comes to the administration being, I guess, more open in the future?
There was no ironclad commitment, okay, let's meet every Wednesday or Friday or whatever. It was suggested, hey, we should meet more regularly. I think both parties, both sides here, the legislature and the administration, felt as though it was a, by and large, productive and healthy conversation. To the extent that they want to have an ongoing conversation, I welcome that. But there was no commitment. Okay, you know, let's reconvene a week from today. But, you know, I think there's an appetite to open up more lines of communication with the legislature, which look, I've been doing this for 9 years in the state legislature, and you know, this is probably the healthiest conversation that I've had with the administration in those 9 years in terms of the openness and candid nature of the conversation. You know, no one was reading from a script, and so we should be doing that a lot more often. You know, it doesn't have to be hostile between the legislature and the governor's office, the administration, but, you know, it often becomes hostile because we don't get answers and information. And so I think all of my colleagues would welcome a more communicative and engaging administration with us.
Did the issue of legislative subpoenas come up during the meeting?
No, they did not. There is certainly that in the backdrop. You know, I've made public statements. Many of my colleagues have made public statements, and perhaps, you know, I don't want to speculate too much, but perhaps that is one of the reasons that prompted the administration to reach out and finally provide responses. And we made it clear walking into that meeting, by the way, that we would be releasing the written responses and in an attempt to be completely transparent with our colleagues and the public. So you know, that was in the backdrop, yeah, certainly, and perhaps it prompted the meeting in the first place.
So they didn't specifically say what prompted. This wasn't like, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, what can we do for the lawmakers? They didn't make it clear why they were doing this?
No.
Based on the answers you've gotten from the Department of Health at this point and the promise for additional answers moving forward, do you feel like this timeline is acceptable? Or should the legislature have done something, maybe subpoenas, to get answers sooner?
So we should have gotten answers sooner. I don't think anyone disputes that. But look, and you know, I'm someone who has not hesitated to issue subpoenas over my 2 years as chair of the Investigations Committee. We've issued 25 subpoenas, which, by the way, is 25 more than the Senate Republicans issued through any committee over the past decade when they were last in the majority. And so, you know, I think that's an indication that, you know, we like to have every tool on the table to get the responses that we deserve and need. We should have gotten them sooner, and perhaps we should have raised the prospect of this sooner. But the timeline is this. I was asked about the prospect of subpoenas in very late January. I put a mile marker sort of in the ground. Hey, you know, I expect we get answers by the time that the commissioner comes to us for his hearing testimony in February. Now it's scheduled for February 25th. And, you know, I think that is what got some of these wheels in motion here. They started working on this audit. Certainly the AG's report was a significant part of pushing this along. And so look, you know, I think we'd be foolish to ever take subpoenas completely off the table. As far as I'm concerned, and every chair has subpoena power, but as far as I'm concerned, they should always be on the table. But we're getting information. I am not going to issue subpoenas for the sake of issuing subpoenas. And that's what the Republicans, you know, they're sort of diving down this rabbit hole. First, back in August, you may remember that Commissioner Zucker came to one of the oversight hearings that we had and was, you know, he left before all the answers, all the questions were asked from all the legislators. And so then the Republicans, oh, subpoena him, get him back here, subpoena him. I knew full well he was coming back within a matter of weeks for a second hearing. And sure enough, he did. All the questions were answered that people had. In fact, he had more time than we had questions. And so we didn't need to subpoena to get him back. And then it became subpoena for the full nursing home death information, subpoena for the number, subpoena for the number. We have the number. And so now it's subpoena for everything, subpoena for everything. You know, these folks are making, and this is just really, really awful, that they are turning this tragedy that, and we have an exact number now of 15,049 New Yorkers, our neighbors, they're turning this tragedy into some political statement. They want to issue subpoenas for the sake of issuing subpoenas. I want to get information that informs our legislative path forward, that provides answers to the family members of the deceased. I'm interested in information. They're interested in making some political gesture surrounding subpoenas, and that's offensive given what's going on and this tragedy.
To be fair to some of the Senate Republicans who have advanced this, I mean, they argue that they're just trying to find out information for New Yorkers who have lost loved ones and still have unanswered questions.
Of course, that's what they're saying. And we're the ones getting the answers. You know, what they're doing is, you know, trying to grab headlines and press conferences and yelling about subpoenas after never issuing a subpoena the entire time they were in the majority. And by the way, let's keep in mind what happened while they were in the majority. You had Moreland, you had Joe Prococo. I mean, you had plenty of opportunities and scandals, and they're in the opposing party to the governor's office, and they never once dusted off subpoenas, mentioned the word subpoenas. They wouldn't know what a subpoena looked like if one hit them in the face. And so, you know, this is just, it's absurd, and it's transparent, and it's way over the top, and the average New Yorker looks at what they're doing as ridiculous as we're actually getting answers for the very questions that they're interested in.
You mentioned that the Senate Democrats, since taking the majority, have issued, I think, about two dozen subpoenas. And I'm curious, what is the sort of threshold in terms of deciding when you've passed that, I guess, Rubicon and it's time to issue a subpoena. Is there a certain test you can apply, or is this a moving sort of goalpost or end zone, whatever the football analogy is, every time you have to think about that question?
The previous subpoenas we issued were for witnesses who refused to appear at our hearing. Mm-hmm. And we felt that they're really, if you talk about a test, the test is, A, do we need this information to develop a legislative response? And B, have we exhausted all options to get that information absent a subpoena? And in the previous cases, we had a hearing that people refused to show up at. We felt that we absolutely needed to hear from them. And so we issued the 25 subpoenas. In this case, there was never, as I said before, Commissioner Zucker, he willingly appeared at not one, but two hearings when we had the oversight hearings a number of months ago. And as frustrated and, quite frankly, irate as I and many colleagues have been with the feet dragging on much of the answers and information we've been seeking, as I said before, you know, when this was broached to the end of January, I said, hey, look, you know, this is the deadline. And, you know, if we had gotten to that deadline and we still didn't have the total nursing home information and answers to the 17 questions we posed a number of months ago, that for me was the test. At that point, we would have exhausted all of our options to get this information. And so I think those are the metrics. One, have we exhausted all options? And two, do we need this information? Certainly with the nursing home piece, we needed this information. And we were on the precipice of exhausting all of our options. But we had this meeting, we had some answers, and now we're going to have follow-ups.
Based on what the public now knows about the true scope of the COVID-19 deaths tied to nursing homes, do you think it was appropriate for the governor and his team to repeatedly claim that the state was 46 in terms of percentage of nursing home deaths, even though they knew from the information they weren't sharing that this wasn't true?
Look, I think that's a question that's posed to them in semi-daily briefings that they have with reporters. Look, you can make numbers, any elected official can tell you this, you can make numbers say just about whatever they want, depending on what the context is, whether you use raw numbers or percentages.
If you don't want to make good faith efforts at promoting what's actually happening.
So look, we have fuller information now, mm-hmm. and absolutely the administration needs to answer for the fact that they didn't provide this sooner, and they've argued that this audit was needed and couldn't have double counting between deaths in hospitals and nursing homes. I think that does need to be questioned. But we have the full information now, and I think reporters, they should ask the governor's office and the governor himself at these briefings. Was this, did you knowingly misrepresent what these numbers were many months ago when you were comparing to other states?
Well, I'm sure someone will. Well, we've been speaking with State Senator James Skoufis. He is chair of the Chamber's Investigations Committee. Senator, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate you walking me through all this.
Thanks very much, Dave. Talk to you soon.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.